Hi, I'm Carmen LaBurge. Thanks for listening to the podcast of Mornings with Carmen LaBurge.
Merry Christmas. We're looking back at some of our important conversations this past year. Thanks for listening to Mornings with Carmen on Faith Radio. If we're gonna fly, we fly like eagles.
Good morning. This is a special holiday edition of Mornings with Carmen during this Christmas week. So I hope you are having opportunity to spend time with the Lord, to carve out time to really consider the reason for the season, the reality of the inbreaking of God into human history. Like, it's a big deal. Everything changes with Christmas, and Christmas changes everything. So let's allow ourselves to be drawn to Jesus's manger throne in really particular significant ways today. So let me ask you, when was the last time you remember being overjoyed? Overjoyed. When was the last time you remember being overjoyed? If you Google overjoyed, you're going to find there's just not much out there. Not a lot of people talking about being overjoyed. I will give you a couple of instances in our life at the LaBurge home of late. So when Sweet John and Beth showed up at our house in matching Mama Bear and Papa Bear jammies, we were overjoyed. Weeks earlier, we had been equally overjoyed at the same news from Benjamin and Mary Scarlett. We're overjoyed. And then my joy is tempered because I'm aware and am actively praying for families who are awaiting Christmas miracles. Some of those miracles that they're asking for are a baby in the womb. So when was the last time you were overjoyed? Our Growing Your Faith verse of the day comes from Matthew chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. The wise men are described here as overjoyed. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. A lot of questions and conversations about this star. Why could these people see this star and follow it for so long, for so many miles? How did it reappear? Because Jesus is no longer an infant. He's described here as a child with his mother, so a couple of years old, maybe. And obviously the star reappeared. I'm not sure we've ever thought about that. I'm not sure we've spent a whole lot of time thinking about that. They were overjoyed. They had arrived. They had found what they were seeking. They had come to the place. They recognized the King of Kings, and though they were really, for all the world, pagans, they bowed down and worshiped Jesus. Think about that. Ponder that. Does the Christmas story, does the proclamation of the incarnation of God still overjoy you? Are you overjoyed with Jesus? How might we recover some joy this Christmastide? So I have a few ideas just for today. There are still plenty of Christmas lights up, and the light of the gospel shines forth in a way that the darkness can never overcome it. People in walking in darkness have seen a great light. On them, the light has shined. That's the promise of Isaiah. It's fulfilled in Jesus. John describes Jesus as the light of the world. He shines in the darkness. He came to those who were his own, but those who were his own did not receive him. How might you just revel tonight, in the shiny stars as the heavens declare the glory of God? And then here is an activity for Christmas cards. I don't know if you've noticed, they're all on sale. They're all on sale now. And so you could go and for pennies on the dollar, you could load up on Christmas cards and you could send them out anytime. I mean, you could certainly send them out now, but you could send them out anytime throughout the year. There's really no time in the year when the proclamation of the good news of the coming of Jesus isn't news that people need to hear. So I know that sounds a little silly, but maybe we need a little silliness to recover some of our joy. How about text messages or just visits out of the blue to people who may have spent Christmas Day either by themselves or not with people who know and love them? Just thinking here, right? Just brainstorming. Who might you seek today in the spirit of Jesus? Jesus breaks into human reality. Like he is the incarnate Son of God. He puts on flesh to dwell among us. And then he sends us out into the world that he so loves to be his representatives, to be his ambassadors, to be the people with gospel feet, with the good news. So let me encourage you today to be a person who creates a little joy for someone else. Don't wait around for joy to come knocking on your door. Carry the inexpressible joy of who we are in Christ Jesus to someone today who hasn't been overjoyed in a really long time. I'm betting you can think of somebody right now who could use some joy. You could be the joy ambassador today. So you're listening to Mornings with Carmen. It's a special edition during this Christmas tide, and we are exploring the gifts of the Spirit. We've arrived at day four in our exploration of the gifts of the Spirit. And by now, I guess I'm hoping that you are thinking through how it is that the Spirit is manifest in your life and how the Spirit wants to be manifest in your life, working out the will of God in and through you. Like, God wants to use you. So let's yield today to the internal work of the Holy Spirit. Let's welcome the Holy Spirit. Let's say, Holy Spirit, come dwell within me. Take up holy habitation in this physical temple. Bring me by one degree of glory to another into the likeness of Christ, and grant me the grace that is sufficient for the carrying out of your will in the world today. God has already given you everything that's necessary for the accomplishing of his will in and through your life today. You already possess it. That is so cool, right? You already possess everything that is necessary for the accomplishing of God's good and perfect will in your life today. So let's explore what those gifts of the Spirit are together. You're listening to Mornings with Carmen. This is Faith Radio.
Well, we are fast approaching the end of the year. We are in the midst of the 12 days of Christmas. People are thinking about their year-end giving. I want to encourage you, if you haven't done so already, to make your year-end gift at myfaithradio.com. You can always text the word GIVE to 877-933-2484. I want to revisit the one-day winter fundraiser that we had back in November. And I want to say thank you one more time to each and every person who participated on that day. We had a little bit of fun in our time together on air, launching the day. And Brian checked in from Minneapolis to serve as our first day of Christmas exemplar. And so I referred to him as our partridge in a pear tree. And then we did the second day of Christmas, and we had a friend in Gillette, Wyoming, check in as turtle, and then Sarah in Waterloo checked in as dove. Instead of two turtle doves, we had a turtle and a dove. And then we had three French hens, and I want to say thank you again to Barbara in Cottage Grove, Mary in Fargo, and Beth in Eagan for being our three French hens during our one-day winter fundraiser in my little 12 Days of Christmas challenge. Now, you can see where this is going. So thank you to our four calling birds, Carolyn in Moorhead, Michelle in Sioux Falls, Susan in Jay, Florida, and Mary from I don't know where, but I bet you know who you are and where you're from. That takes us to our five golden rings. Michael checked in from Massachusetts, an anonymous friend in Austin, Texas, Tracy in Cottage Grove, and Christy and Mandan. Beth came in as our fifth golden ring from Lakeville. So thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you then to our six geese a-laying. We had Christian in St. Mary's and Christine. We had Tim from Stillwater, a friend in Ames, Iowa, Deborah in Madison, Wisconsin, and then a friend finally joining us from Mount Forest, Ontario, because after all, during our six geese a-laying segment, we were looking for one Canadian goose. So thank you so much, Sandy, for being that. Cheryl then checked in from Minneapolis as our first swan a-swimming. Tom and Gail from Madison joined her, as did Sherry in Rutherfordton, North Carolina, Lillian in Knoxville, Tennessee, Verlin from Laverne, Minnesota, an anonymous friend in Cannon Falls, Minnesota, and then a friend in Brooklyn Center as well, which took us to our eight maids a-milking. Thank you to Stephanie and then Josh from Superior, Wisconsin, a friend in Woodville, Wisconsin, Greg in Orleans, Massachusetts, Terry in Hartford, Connecticut, Becky in Barnesville, Minnesota, an anonymous friend in Minnetonka, and then Carol joined us as well. That took us to our nine ladies dancing, and let me just say, they actually were all ladies, which I kind of appreciate. When we get to the Lords of Leaping, there's going to be some women leaping among the Lords, so there you go. But our nine ladies dancing checked in. Again, this was in our one-day winter fundraiser, and I just wanted to circle back around and say thank you one more time to Gail in Minnesota. Mary Lou, Judy, and Megan all checked in, and they checked in so quickly I didn't write down the towns that they're from, but I bet you know who you are. Marlene joined us from Eden Prairie, Gloria from St. Paul, Minnesota, Leanne from Sioux Falls, Susan in Somerset, Wisconsin, and then Kim in Deerfield. I don't know if that's which Deerfield that is because I don't have a state, but she's the one who said, come on, let's go be shiny. So thank you so much to each one of our ladies dancing. That took us to our 10 Lords of Leaping, leading off with Glenn and Dave, joined by Linda in Sioux Falls, Anne in Excelsior, Minnesota, Sharon in Superior, Wisconsin, Tim in Sun Prairie, Irma in Breckenridge, Carol in Landon, North Dakota. Paul checked in, as did Cheryl from Wolverton, Minnesota. And then we had our 11 Pipers piping. I don't actually have 11 names down here, which means I completely lost count. But I know that we had a Peter, Andrew, James, and John. I don't know where you were from, but thank you so much, because the 11 Pipers piping is a nod to the 11 apostles. We also had Mary from Madison. Nicole checked in, Kenneth from Ellington, Connecticut, Philip in Circle Pines, Nancy in Oregon, Wisconsin, and Angelica in Des Moines, Iowa, which led us, finally, drum roll please, to our 12 drummers drumming. And this is in the spirit of bring your gift, whatever gift it is that God has placed in your hands and desires that you would release back to him as an act of gratitude and thanksgiving for the gift he has given you in Jesus Christ. Come forward, little drummer boy or little drummer girl, with your best gift. And we had a friend do that from Gardner, Kansas, and then Lori from West Simsbury, Connecticut, joined by Diane in Newington, Connecticut, Rob from Oakdale, Minnesota, Steve from Granger, Indiana. Teresa then joined us from Hudson, Wisconsin, Susan in Spearfish, South Dakota, Nathaniel in Baxter, Minnesota, Wes joined us from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, Robert from Burnsville, Sue, Saginaw, Michigan. I'm like, I can't read my own writing here at the bottom of the page. And Mary in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, came in as our 12th drummer drumming. We had hundreds of people who joined us in our one-day winter fundraiser. I just wanted to say thank you one more time to those of you who participated in my little 12 days of Christmas portion of the day. It's always so much fun to hear from you, to know that you are with us in this ministry. It's a ministry that wouldn't happen without you, and we wouldn't want to do it without you. So thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. We are going to, here in just a moment, return to our unwrapping the spiritual gifts that come by the power of the Holy Spirit, who enters our lives when we believe in Jesus and receive him. That's up next here on Mornings with Carmen.
TikTok. Yeah, TikTok is an app, but TikTok is also the reality of the year winding down to the end. So we're making lists. We're checking them twice. Things done, things left undone, gifts given, gifts we still need to buy. Would you help us with a gift before the end of the year? Time is ticking away, and this ministry is not possible without you. So I'm wondering if before the end of the year, you would make your best tax-deductible gift to support Faith Radio. Your gift right now keeps the good news in front of more people, everywhere, all the time, anywhere, accessible through the Faith Radio app and at MyFaithRadio.com. So thank you for giving by clicking the link in the show notes or by giving today at MyFaithRadio.com. Tick-tock! All right, but we have been unwrapping the spiritual gifts that come with the gift of God's Holy Spirit in our lives, and we arrive now at the spiritual gift of hospitality. You could look in 1 Peter 4, verses 9 and 10, or in Romans 12, verse 13, in terms of the biblical discussions of hospitality as a spiritual gift, or you could just think of, I don't know, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, who show such lavish hospitality to Jesus and his disciples. You could think of whoever it is that hosted them in the upper room as a person possessed of the gift of hospitality. You could certainly think of Lydia in Acts 16 as a person manifesting this particular spiritual gift. People who have the spiritual gift of hospitality are fond of guests. They like strangers, and they make friends of them. So by definition, this spiritual gift of hospitality, it is a supernatural ability given by God to express care and friendliness to guests, to strangers, to wayfarers, providing relationship, reaching out, supplying food and drink, and even a place to stay. So when you think about how much joy it gives you to host people in your home, you might consider that you may have the gift of hospitality. Now, I will say that it's more than just creating an environment where people feel cared for and honored. That's certainly a part of it. It's the real, genuine embrace of visitors and guests, quickly making people feel at home. Do you have that gift, that ability? Do you quickly make people feel like they're right at home, like they belong at your table in your home, seated next to you as the honored guest? Do you know how to create a safe and comfortable setting where relationships can flourish? I want to celebrate the people this season who have the gift of hospitality, and I want to encourage you to express your gift more and more and more, because I find that the opportunity to sit down at table together, where Christ can be made known among us in the breaking of the bread, that is something in the culture today that has tremendous power. And so those possessed of the gift of hospitality, I want to see you find new ways to express your spiritual gift in the year ahead. Maybe you have the gift of intercession. Now, again, the spiritual gift of intercession does not alleviate all the rest of us from interceding. Each and every one of us as Christians are responsible to be praying for one another. But there are people who are blessed to have the gift of intercession. They plead on behalf of others before God. They stand in the gap. They literally intercede. It's a supernatural ability to mediate in the place of prayer on behalf of others. I have described to you my physical posture of intercession, where I put the name of a person in my cupped hands. I want you to think of cupping your hands together like you would if you were going to bend down to a stream to get a handful of cold water. All right. I want you to think about cupping your hands together like that. And then I want you to think of putting that person by using their name, putting that person by name in your cupped hands and lifting that up before the Lord. Your head is bowed, your eyes are closed, your hands are cupped, and in them you lift up this person who needs God to do for them what they cannot do for themselves, what none of us could do for them, to heal a wound, to supply for a need, to alleviate a pain, whatever it is. Do you have the spiritual gift of intercession? Are you compelled by the Spirit of the living God to pray earnestly regarding others? Are you aware of the spiritual battles being waged every single day, and do you pray into those? Is prayer your first response? Is it your first instinct to pray? Then maybe you have the spiritual gift of intercession. If so, you might want to look at Abraham's prayer regarding Sodom and Gomorrah as inspiration for how people of faith intercede. Maybe you could think of Moses interceding for Israel in Exodus 32, or the way Daniel intercedes in chapters 9 and 10 of his prophetic book. That brings us to the spiritual gift of leadership. I'm doing these alphabetically so that I can stay organized, if you're wondering. If you're wondering, how is Carmen organizing her thoughts? I'm doing this alphabetically. The alphabet tends to work for me because then I can keep it in order. So, the gift of leadership. It's also known as the gift of ruling. And so, this is not the kind of ruling that lords it over others, likes to take credibility, likes to, be seen as the leader. No, that's actually not the spiritual gift of leadership. When we talk about the spiritual gift of leadership, we're talking about a willingness and an ability to stand before, to preside, to rule, but not to do so in a way that dishonors God. It's the supernatural ability to lead a group of people in the accomplishment of God's purposes together. You want your pastor to have this gift. You want a pastor who's able to see ahead where others don't and then lead accordingly into that future. You want a pastor who knows how to cast a vision and provide direction and create structures for the accomplishing of various tasks, and a pastor who knows that all of those tasks are not his responsibility, that the body is necessary and that every member of the body has spiritual gifts designed to build up the body of Christ. So I want you to be praying for your pastor today and those in pastoral leadership and other congregations, and that God would bestow anew upon them as we enter in this new year. God would give them the spiritual gift of leadership. Would you do that as well for our leaders here at Faith Radio? I know Carissa Rogers would love to know that you're praying that she be given this spiritual gift of leadership. The gift of mercy. I put a smiley face next to this one. I love the people who have the spiritual gift of mercy, compassion in both word and deed, the supernatural ability that's given by God to relieve people of their suffering by very practical expressions of compassion coming alongside. So let me ask you, are you attracted to, like, do you like to draw near to, and are you attractive to, do they like you to draw near to them, hurting people? Are you attracted to hurting people? And are hurting people attracted to you? If so, it's quite possible you have the spiritual gift of mercy. Are you able to identify with people's challenges, their emotions, and empathize with them? Do you have an unusual desire to express love in tangible ways to people who are helpless and hopeless? Yeah, that's a spiritual gift. And we want you to be encouraged in the expression of that spiritual gift and unwrap it among us in the year to come. That takes us to the spiritual gift of shepherding, also known as pastoring. It's the shepherding of a flock, and it is the supernatural ability given by God to tend to and guide a group of people towards spiritual maturity and God's purposes. Who shepherds your heart? And how are you shepherding others? How are you expressing care for the flock committed to you? And how are you encouraging your pastor as he shepherds the flock? Ezekiel 34 is a good place to look for cautionary tales related to shepherding. And then obviously Jesus as the good shepherd in John 10 and 1 Peter 5, good places to look for Jesus as the model of this particular spiritual gift. All right, we'll pick up tomorrow in this conversation as we unwrap the spiritual gifts that come with the Holy Spirit of the living God. The next one up is prophetic ministry.
On this special edition of Mornings with Carmen during this Christmas week, thank you so much for the privilege of your time with me. I love it. I appreciate it. It is truly a gift. If you haven't visited us lately at myfaithradio.com, I'm going to encourage you to go and check out all of the things that are available there. We want to get you signed up for some things like reading through the Bible with us together in 2024. Love to have you text the word HOPE to 877-933-2484. Why bring those up? Well, because those two things in a couple of days are going to transition to something else, and I don't want you to miss out on anything. Next up, we're going to visit with John Van Sloten. You might remember this conversation about God Speaks Science. I really thoroughly enjoyed how John takes what's happening at the neurological level and, you know, the level of great squids and supernovas and how it reveals to us the truth of our Creator God. God Speaks Science, next here on Mornings with Carmen.
Thanks for listening to this special Best of Mornings with Carmen LaBurge on Faith Radio.
All right, this is going to be a fun conversation. John Van Sloten is here. He brings to us God Speaks Science, what neurons, giant squid, and supernova reveal about our Creator. John, welcome to Mornings with Carmen.
Hey, Carmen, thank you for having me.
All right, what do you want us to know about how God speaks through, I mean, what you're calling science, but through the created order itself?
Yeah, a good delineation there. Science is only the tool with which we can exegete and understand and more fully read and know the nature of creation. But those are separate things. Science is a created thing, created by God, I believe, to help us unpack his revelation through creation. But to your question, what do I want us, and assuming us being Christian believers, to know? The Bible teaches very clearly that God made everything. The Bible also teaches very clearly in the New Testament that everything came into being in, through, and for Christ. John chapter 1:1-3, Hebrews chapter 1:2, Colossians chapter 1:15-17. Read those passages. Unequivocal that everything that came to be through the person of Christ. If that is true, that God made it all and he made it all through Jesus, then it's not a huge leap to believe then what we know, how God reveals God's self through creation, might lead us to the person of Christ, to an experience of the mind of Christ. Johannes Kepler, a great physicist and philosopher and mathematician, believed that centuries ago, that he was thinking God's thoughts after God as he was doing his work as a scientist. And you don't have to be a scientist to do that kind of math. And that's really what my book is about. I'm a non-scientist writing about interviewing scientists and learning from scientists about creation in ways that has helped me know God more, know the God of the scriptures more through what God is self-revealing through creation.
So I like that you describe yourself as a non-scientist talking with scientists, interviewing scientists in God Speaks Science. Let's talk about those conversations. Tell us about one person that you met and what you thought the conversation was going to be about, but maybe how it surprised you.
I met Dr. Masaki Hayashi. He's a geoscientist, a Canada research chair at the University of Calgary, thinking that he would help me understand the nature of the Bow River, which runs through our city here in Canada, Calgary, and had a whole bunch of ideas.
Okay, can I just interrupt you for a second? Because I, for the first time in my life, got to visit Calgary this past summer, and so... I just immediately leapt to my mind what you just described and what you're talking about, and I went down there to the Stampede area and saw where the river cuts through, and then went way up onto the top of the hill so we could get a better perspective. And so I'm speak on, my friend, about the Bow River.
Okay. No, but you're illustrating why one as a faith leader, me, but as a human being, would even talk about what a river says, the nature of a river would say about the mind of Jesus through whom a river was made. It becomes something that's there in your life. People walk by the river. They know the river. They remember the river. Anyway, I'm meeting with Dr. Hayashi and had a few ideas about, you know, what makes up the waters of the river and what are the sources. And I thought that's what I would end up talking with him about and then preaching about. But he ended up sharing a discovery that he'd made. He was doing research on a high mountain lake in the Rocky Mountains here, right at the tree line. And he was noticing that the outflows from the lake were significant, but the inflows coming off the surface of the Rocky Mountain, they weren't adding up. Why was there so much water going into that lake and then going out to supply the Bow River? And he discovered that mountains, this is the first time any geoscientist in the world has sort of verified this, 20 years ago, discovered that mountains above the tree line hold water. They're like, in his words, a big bucket that has a slow leak in it that lets water out slowly in times when there are early snow melts or not enough rain, pardon me, or snowpack. And they kind of allow the river to have water longer into the season. So there's this beautiful geological grace that, you know, as a theologian, I immediately heard all the passages. I remember the story of Moses striking the water, the rock, and water coming from the rock, and passages in the Psalms and the prophets that reference that story that God is a God who provides water out of a rock. And of course, put that together with his discovery that actually mountaintops do hold water in a providential kind of way. And yeah, now my wife and I, every time we drive along the Bow River into the Rocky Mountains and see all those mountains above the tree line, we go buckets and we think about God's grace. Mm. And we know that if God has got that in mind and thought to think far ahead, right, in a warming world, that there's a little provision there. He's got us in mind and things are going to be okay.
So beautiful. JohnVanSloten.com is the website. God Speaks Science, What Neurons, Giant Squid, and Supernova Reveal About Our Creator. Tell us about the nature of tree branches and wound healing.
Huh. Yeah, another beautiful kind of connection. And for all of these, it's not just God through creation and not connecting it to the scriptures. It's seeing God in creation because God has revealed himself to me and to us through the Bible. John Calvin talks about wearing the scriptures like a pair of glasses. And when you know Jesus through the Bible, you then have more with which to see and focus on Jesus in creation or recognize his moves or his thinking or his way of being. And so tree branches are natural, right? Jesus had his own. Jesus used creation in his parables to teach people truth, mysterious truth of the kingdom. I am the vine, you are the branches. So I imagine they might have been standing near a vineyard when that happened. So he's pointing to this thing. So knowing that parable, I went to a plant scientist and asked the question, what's the ideal tree and branch connected? How do trees and branch, what's the ideal way to be a branch? Because I figured if the science could show me what that is, I'd have more with which to understand what it means to remain in Jesus and to abide in him, as the parable asked us to do. So I'm talking with the plant scientist and he goes, wrong question. I said, what do you mean wrong question? Well, there is no ideal. There are as many ways for a branch to be a branch as there are different plants and different environmental conditions and different times and different levels of sunlight and different levels of water, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it just struck me, like my whole faith walk, I've tried to, and maybe inordinately so, and maybe in a way that was kind of restricting my life or paralyzing me with a bit of anxiety, try to figure out what's the way to abide in you perfectly and to be a branch, because I do want that. And I want to know you more and I want to bear fruit in my life. To then hear that how I'm going to be a branch may look quite different than how Carmen is and all the other billions of people on this planet. There could be as many ways to be a branch as there are people. And all of us, of course, abiding in one source, one place where we find sustenance and wisdom and knowledge for life. But the freedom, the sense of exhale, okay, there's a way for me to branch out. There's a way for me to reach toward the light and grow my leaves and bear fruit that is maybe in God's infinite wisdom, uniquely me, that fits and that honors God because it fits, because I'm imaging him the way he made me to.
Mm. Same root, same vine, very
same
different
root.
Branches.
Yeah, right.
Very
yeah,
different
take it right
branches.
Back.
This is that unity, that unity in diversity business, that there's unity, like we're all branches, we're all leafy, we're all producing fruit, but there's absolute unlimited diversity in that. In the same way that God didn't have to make more than one color of green, like right there.
Yeah.
There didn't need to be more than one shade of green. And yet, when you look at the side of a mountain, there's literally an endless number. And when you go to a different part of the world, you're like, oh, and the myriad shades of green I've seen in that place are different than the shades of green I see here. And it's just, it's absolutely incredible. Hey, we have to take a very, very brief break. We're going to continue our conversation with John Van Sloten here in just a moment. God Speaks Science is the book. JohnVanSloten.com is your one-stop place to connect with John and find out all the other cool things he's talking about and preaching on. You're listening to Mornings with Carmen. We'll be right back. Feelings, nothing more than feelings. I mean, seriously, if all we had was nothing more than feelings, we would just be lost in a sea of mush. Hello, friend. I'm sure you have noticed by now that feelings are a terrible barometer of the truth. Our feelings are affected by the weather, world events, what we ate last night, whether or not someone we like or love texted or tagged us in a social post, how badly someone else sings. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if you're feeling lonely right now, I want you to ask yourself, am I really ever truly alone? Of course not. As a follower of Christ, Jesus promises to be with you always. He's literally with you right now in the thick of it, in the midst of whatever circumstances you're dealing with in your life. So I want to be a source of hope and encouragement to you today. If you are struggling to make it, even just to the next moment, if you're feeling lonely, text the word HOPE to 877-933-2484. John Van Sloten is engaging God everywhere. That's what it says on his website at johnvansloten.com. He's a Calgary-based writer, teacher, and pastor. He's passionate about helping us engage God everywhere. So he has been preaching dozens of creation Bible-based sermons on topics like radiation therapy and DNA repair mechanisms and river hydrology and tree branches and human needs and giant squid and supernovas. And he brings us now a book that is around those same topics, God Speaks Science. And in it, he has conversations with, frankly, scientists who take us on this incredibly joy-filled expedition that maybe they didn't even know they were embarking on themselves. So, John, maybe we move now to, you want to talk about supernovas or you want to talk about fossils? Either one. I'm good with either one.
Supernovae.
I knew I was pronouncing it incorrectly when I saw that up, E. Like, is it, I saw that supernova? E at the end and I'm like, what am I supposed to say? Yeah, thank
singular
you.
Supernova, plural supernovae is what I've been taught, but that may be a Canadian thing, eh? So, yeah.
That was very gracious of you. Yeah.
Thank you. I was down at a workshop in Houston, and somebody who ran the Hubble Space Telescope was giving a presentation on a person of faith, talking about the nature of the universe. And I left, amazing images and, to see all these galaxies. But I left a little disappointed because I was wondering, the universe is like this. So what does that say about the mind of Christ, of the thoughts of God? And we never really got to answering that question. But I was complaining about that to another scientist who was walking back to the hotel with me. And she said, I'm a Mars rover researcher, and I've thought about this question. When I think about space, I think about supernovae and the death and resurrection of stars, basically, and only through the death and resurrection of stars forming and then blowing up and creating more and more matter until we had all the elements to fill out our periodic table, was life even able to be? So this was the mechanism that science is saying God used to make enough matter to make us up, that Jesus used to make enough matter to make up what would one day be his earthly body when the incarnation happened up. Jesus thought up a process that played out in the universe that eventually ended up in his human body that is now God with us through Christ. Amazing. Anyway, death and resurrection, and that idea happening in via the making more out of matter through supernovae was what I connected with. And I remember when she explained it to me, and I said, well, no surprises there, right? That a God who thought that, you know, the salvific way, the mystery of death and resurrection in and through literally the person of Christ, that would be the way that all things are made new and the cosmos is renewed. That same dying, resurrecting kind of thing is echoed or reflected in or foreshadowed in how supernovae play out 45 times per second right now, as your listeners are hearing us talk. It's a kind of like, yeah, that's how God works. That's how Jesus works, right? Death and resurrection. And this time, through the book of creation, God's first book written long before the Bible was written, God was already presaging, foreshadowing that death and resurrection can make more out of things and more out of things and more out of things and us.
Andrew Peterson said here yesterday that, you know, in order to tell the story he wanted to tell, like, God had to make what he made. Like, right, you had to have a world and you had to have this world and it had to work this way in order for the story, the redemptive cosmological arc, to actually find a place and a space. And I thought that is connected to the conversation we are having now. I am wondering how engaging God through not just creation, but via science, like, how has it changed you?
It's in many ways changed everything. As I was pointing to earlier, I can't walk by the river now. I can't look at the mountains now. I can't look at a tree branch now. My life is increasingly surrounded by parables. My very body, I preached on the biomechanics of the human knee and the nature of the kidney and neural stress-reducing mechanisms and DNA repair mechanisms. DNA, your DNA is repairing itself in your body trillions of times per second. Every second that we've been conversing, your DNA has, by the grace of God, unmerited by us, been saving our bodies and doing repairs on our DNA so that cancers, Lord willing, cancers aren't developing in our bodies. But if I think about it, it's overwhelming. I can't go anywhere without recognizing or seeing something that is a reminder, a pointer to who made everything, who made me, who's making everything new, who's making me new. We sang a hymn in the church I grew up with that had a line that says, "He speaks to me everywhere." I sang that as a kid growing up when I was learning catechism and attending, not hearing these kinds of sermons. But now I feel like I'm living it. This is our Father's world, and through our listening ears, all nature sings, and around us rings the music of the spheres. It's true. And again, not just in creation. This is not a hippy dippy crystal kind of engaging God through all things. It's not. And I separate God as creator, Christ as the one through whom things are made, from the creation. They're not the same thing. God's not a tree. But with the right boundaries and the right theological foundation, one that for 2,000 years has been talked about in the church, I live a life that it's like a museum filled with paintings and creation. Speaking, and then speaking, connecting to the scriptures. And that's where the magic, the beauty in this is that something in a mountaintop echoes something from the Old Testament repeated in a psalm, and the lordship of Christ over all of those things. There's a moment. That's where I'm definitely not a totally rational, empirical thinker, but a bit of a mystic, a moment where you're the Lord. You're the Lord, Lord, over all of that? Really? You did that then, way back when, and then that then with the people of Israel, and this now. in my life, and it all sort of comes together in the lordship of Christ over everything, the moment at best. It's like I step into it, and for a second, he pulls back the veil, and you get to see a bit of his thinking, feel a bit of his presence.
And then once you've seen, you can't unsee, which is just so incredible. And
you can't unsee.
Then we're forever changed. John, we have to leave it right there. I hope you've enjoyed yourself enough to come back.
Well, I would love to. You can hear it. I'm excited about it.
Yeah, I know. So, and people listening are excited as well. And so this is the kind of feast we want to have more often here.
Have you been feasting on the Word of God over this Christmas season? I mean, I just really feel like that conversation with John, I mean, that's just a feast for the heart and the mind. This gives us an opportunity to engage with scientifically minded people, our kids, our grandkids, students at college, doctors, and people who are interested in physics and all kinds of things, right? So we want to be equipped for every conversation out there with every kind of person. And so I just appreciate John and the conversation that we were able to have with him. Let's talk a little bit about 2024. What is already on your calendar? What are you looking at? What are you looking at doing? And what are you looking at doing differently in terms of your discipleship? Could you join a Bible study or a book study, a small group, a community group near your home? So this is not a question about joining one at the church where you are a member. This is about finding a church that's super close to your house and finding out what they're offering in the new year in terms of Bible study or small group, community group, or some book study. Would you do me the favor of checking that out? Jim and I have decided, you know what, we are going in the new year to join a Experiencing God study at a church that is super close to our house. It is not, you know, the church where we are members, because that church is like 45 minutes away. And the reality is, because I work super early in the morning, we don't go to all of the night stuff at our church. But we're missing out, and other people are missing out. And so we've identified a little church near where we live, and they're going to have an Experiencing God study on Wednesday nights, and we're joining in. Could you do the same thing? Could you walk in discipleship with somebody during 2024? Could you offer the gift of your presence and participation in a small church near where you live? I really encourage you to consider this. It's going to expand our understanding, our appreciation, our exposure to the Church of Jesus Christ universal, and it's going to expose us to the needs in our own communities. It's going to give us the opportunity to express the gospel with our actual neighbors. And so let me encourage you to check that out. Check out that opportunity. And maybe you're saying to yourself, I'm actually in a position to host such a study or host even a house church in 2024. Love to help you be equipped to do that. What might that look like? Could you have a simple soup and bread meal and a very, very standard set plan? Maybe just the singing of one song a cappella and then a Bible study together and then reflections by people around the table on how God is working in their life, where they see him and the miracles they need from him. Does church have to be more than that? Is church any less than that? So I just want to encourage you to think about 2024 a little bit differently and maybe walk your faith out in 2024 in a slightly different way. I'll let you know how it goes for me. I hope you'll let me know how it goes for you. You're listening to a special edition of Mornings with Carmen during this Christmas week here on Faith Radio.
Thanks for listening to this podcast of Mornings with Carmen LaBurge from Faith Radio. If you haven't, you can subscribe to automatically receive the podcast through iTunes or the Google Play Music app. That way, you never miss an episode. It's also available anytime at myfaithradio.com.